Well, thank you to each person here and online, each person participating and serving in leading this service. To each visitor, welcome. It's so good to be together on this Easter morning. The dead's alive and the lost is found. We have been learning from the seven last sayings of Jesus on the cross, focusing on the significance of Jesus' death. And today, and for the rest of our lives, we get to focus on Jesus' life and all that that means for us, hopefully in practical ways that continue to grow us as people who are centered on Christ and reflect Christ to the world in the way of peace. So God, we invite you to minister to us now, where death has its hold on us, set us free. We've thought together about how Jesus was fully human and fully God and fully dead. It is finished. And now Jesus is alive and yet in a new way. This is different from Lazarus, who returned to his same body. Jesus still had a body. His hands and his pierced side would have shown the marks of his suffering. And later on the beach, when the disciples saw him, they saw his body, but something was different about him. He was now Jesus who could enter rooms even though doors were locked. Jesus didn't return to his old life. Jesus began something altogether new. And so it is for us, or rather, so it can be for us, if we switch our gaze to Christ instead of the 20-ton boulder of sin and death that we tow along behind us and that we cling to. We cling to that which Christ has set us free from, and is setting us free from, and will fully set us free from. For those here who chose to be baptized, whether or not we felt different, our lives were changed. In a few weeks, we get to celebrate baptism. For today, when we think of baptism, think unity. Baptism unites us with Christ so that his death is ours. His new life is ours. His purpose and his perspective, ours. If you remember John 17, Jesus describes his unity with God like our unity with him and the unity that we are to have with each other. Baptism links our lives in a new way to Jesus and to one another. And because of that, we have gifts, responsibility, and empowerment that we didn't have before. That's good news. In a sense, today's passage is straightforward. You have died. You have been raised. Therefore, focus on things where Christ is. Well, easier said than done. If I say, don't think about the purple elephant stomping on dandelions, what are you thinking about? A purple elephant stomping on dandelions. When we're in the middle of a challenging situation, what is one of the main things we think about? The challenging situation, oftentimes. And we need practical ways to unhook and refocus our hearts and minds, and we'll come back to that. But trying harder only frustrates us and makes it worse. When we try something for the first time, it forms a crease in our minds, like a crease on a piece of paper. And you have my permission to do this with your bulletins if you would like to. This will help us remember. The more we practice something, the more it becomes a habit. We do it over and over and over, and the crease gets stronger until at some point the crease becomes automatic. It's a habit. And the habit hooks us until we think about it differently. And we see things and God and ourselves from a new perspective. We do it once. We do it again. We can still see the old habit there, but the new one, the more we do it, the easier that new habit becomes. When we change our focus, the new habit gets easier and easier. I wonder, what is one habit that is not serving you well? A behavior or thought that has hooked us. Jesus' resurrected life gives us freedom from sin and death, but we aren't living it. So here's an example. I struggled with forgiving someone who hurt me, actually two people. And I had forgiven them, I continued forgiving them, and I said that one day I would forgive them fully, meaning in the next life. And I didn't realize that could happen now. On Friday evening, a couple days ago, at a worship service, the words of the song were something about Jesus forgiving sins. And I had a new thought that I can barely put into words, that I am not their judge. It's God's to grant forgiveness for what they have done. And I am free from it. I invite you to join me in carrying around a bulletin or a piece of paper this week. And each time we are in a stuck situation with an old habit, to think a new thought. Like, Jesus is alive. The Lord is risen. I look for Christ, or Christ is my life. We need a new perspective on getting a new perspective. Trying to focus on Christ instead of what hooks our attention is like trying to see something other than the purple elephant stomping on dandelions. Jesus' words to the women in the dramatic reading we heard from Matthew 28 caught my attention. There they will see me. Have you noticed that for a few months now, those of you that have been here regularly, a repeating idea keeps coming up in our sermons and prayers and songs? We keep longing to see Christ. We've said, open our awareness to what you are doing around us. Help us to recognize you and one another. We've prayed to be centered on Jesus. Matthew 28, there they will see me. Colossians 3, set your heart and mind on things above where Christ is. What does Jesus see from his vantage point when he looks at us? Jesus, who was fully dead and who is now fully alive in a brand new way. Let me give you an example. When I became lead pastor in 2020, one of the things that had my attention, my worry, was this building. We had chosen to have worship services online because of the pandemic, and the building was mostly unoccupied. And God gave an image, he placed it in my mind, of Zion's building from overhead up on that hill. It was night. And the building was covered in this white protective cover that reminded me of bubble wrap, but with these hoops around it holding the cover in place. That image, a new perspective, comforted me that God was protecting us and the building. I was startled much later when I realized what the hoops in the image were. You know how images from God sometimes have multiple meanings. The safety of the church was on my mind, and yet God was showing me something else. The white cover and the hoops were a greenhouse, with Zion inside. A place to send down roots in Christ. A place to grow in Christ. A place to bear fruit for others. This week, I saw Christ when a group of leaders trusting God prayed for God to lead their discerning, and God did. Jesus came that we might seek him. This week, I saw Christ when three people here met to listen and share about a misunderstanding. New perspective was born. Relationships were strengthened. Christ came that we might have reconciliation. This month, I saw Christ when a congregant navigated a challenge and shared it with this body. Meals, cards, love, and prayers were shared. Christ came that the church might be the church. This month, I saw Christ when 16 people were willing to spend several hours sitting on uncomfortable pews with persons of different faith backgrounds to learn about the transportation and childcare needs of strangers. Christ came that we would love our neighbor. Christ came to save us. We are going to try an individual activity just in our minds. I will guide us through, and then we'll close in prayer. I invite you to close your eyes if you're comfortable doing so to help us focus. We may want to open our hands to symbolize our openness to Christ. Each of us has challenges and stressors in our lives. That's normal. Maybe it's something from our past, something in our present, or something looming in the future. Maybe it's a sin in our life that we are overtaken by. Choose one thing that your heart or your mind has been focused on. And when you have your one thing in mind, I invite you to raise your hand. Rather than carrying this weight in our hearts and minds, I invite us to put our hands down and picture this challenge in our open hands. How might God see this challenge? Bring to mind all that we know about God, that God is loving and generous and forgiving and wise, that Jesus is seated at the right hand of God, fully alive, that God's Spirit empowers us now, and that God is present with us now. God, we invite you to bring to mind whatever aspect of who you are that you want us to focus on. Maybe it is a name of who you are. Maybe it's a characteristic. Grant us clarity and focus as we take a moment to reflect. Show us how you see the situation that we have been focused on. Show us how you see us. Help us to understand you more fully. God, I thank you for these moments to ponder how you might see our circumstances with love, mercy, and peace. Your way is forgiveness. We are dead to the old way of life, and you invite us to walk with you in new, elevated, resurrected life. The old has gone. The new is here. Help us to breathe this in like new breath in our lungs. You are our Lord, and there is no other. May your glory shine. Thank you, Lord. Amen.